Lisa and Pete here with a Tuesday catch-up.
WA Police Union President George Tilbury told us how police will begin issuing cautions instead of fines for some minor offences as part of their ongoing pay dispute with the government.
Jane McNamara from the NBN gave us an update on new Perth suburbs about to get the service.
And the latest evictee from MasterChef Eloise called in for a chat.
Experience Perth's best new electrical appliance superstore at the all-new Midland Retrovision. Grand opening sale this Saturday. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
Eloise is a 32-year-old graduate law clerk who unfortunately got eliminated from MasterChef last night, Lise.
Yeah, but she did all right.
Did very well, and she joins us on the show now. Good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eloise. I've seen some pretty fancy things come out of that kitchen, but last night's The Nest was right up there.
Yeah.
Can you just take us very quickly through what that dessert was?
Gosh, that was a challenge and a half. That's what that dessert was. It was pretty amazing. There was parsnip cake, there was parsnip bark, there was marshmallow skins, there was honeycomb, there were two types of caramel, there was a cured egg yolk, there was a SCOBY.
A SCOBY?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kombucha.
The old SCOBY. Oh, right. Yes. It was the egg that did our head in, having to sort of syringe up this yolk and then replace it with caramel.
That, I think, is like, I could never be a surgeon. I could never be a nurse. I don't know whether you saw me working with that needle and that syringe, but that was not my finest moment. And that was probably the most stressed I felt in my entire life.
Do you tend to be a little bit nervous around needles anyway?
No, needles and I are okay. But, yeah, maybe not when there's delicate surgery to be performed.
Doesn't come anymore,
an egg yolk.
Any more delicate than an egg yolk, does it?
No.
Yeah.
We on this show, we kind of... I don't like to say play favourites, right? But we kind of have a favourite, I guess, Matt Preston, you know.
We do love Matt.
He's right up there. They're all a good bunch of blokes. But yeah. do you have a favourite out of the three?
Oh, look, everyone asks and it changes from day to day.
I get
all
that.
Three of the judges. Like, Gary, I put it this way. Gary's like your favourite teacher and you don't want to let him down, and his disappointed dad look, it cuts you right to the core. So when you let Gary down, you really feel like you've done something wrong. And then you've got George, who's sort of a bit more like the naughty kid in class. Like when you say you're going to do something really wacky and crazy, he gets excited and he gets on board.
He eggs you on,
Yeah, which is nice, because sometimes you've got Gary who's like, oh, I'm not sure that's a good idea. And George is like, do it anyway. So that's kind of cool. And then Matt, who has this incredible wealth of knowledge, and he can always find the like positives in things when things don't quite go your way. So they've all got their amazing attributes and they're all really wonderful.
I think Matt Preston's so sexy.
What do you think of the beard? I love the beard.
I love the beard. Well, we do laugh at our TV reviewer referred to it as, oh, love the beard, or is it a hairy cravat? So, Eloise, the great news is you have started your own dessert business and you are hoping to launch what I think totally is the next big thing in this country, a dessert and whiskey bar. Yay!
Yeah.
What a great idea. Or just a dessert and any sort of, you know, kind of a cognac or any sort of what you might call a nightcap type of drink would be fantastic. I love that idea.
Oh, good.
Is it going to be in South Australia? Is it going to be in Adelaide?
It's more than likely, going to be in Adelaide. It's probably still a little while off, but it's definitely in my plan.
Well, I can't wait till it's a chain, Eloise, when it comes to Perth.
Yeah. Burning pirate ship sweets and treats.
Yes.
It just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So that's my little sweets business.
Great.
Well, listen, all the best with it. We hope it goes very well for you. And you've been just absolutely stunning this season. So, yeah, whatever you want to do, I'm sure you'll do really well at it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say.
More suburbs around Perth are having work started in regards to having NBN flow through their suburbs. High-speed internet, bring it on. And for more on this, we're joined now by NBN spokesperson Jane McNamara. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I think not since STD has, you know, three letters meant so much in our sort of communications world, has it? STD being a long-distance phone call back in the day. Now, NBN.
Yeah. Tell us, you know, right now, how we're going in terms of the rollout. It looks like all of a sudden we've gone from, hey, a few suburbs to, hey, just about every suburb. Mm.
Yeah, look, yesterday was a great announcement to be able to say that we're officially halfway across the country is fantastic.
Right.
That's good. Yeah.
One in two premises can now connect. So that's fantastic news. For WA, we're at about 600,000 premises that are now NBN ready or can move to the NBN.
Yeah.
And we're probably tracking at about just over 240,000 premises that have moved to the NBN. So that's terrific.
One thing, I'm not very tech savvy, but one thing that's always been curious about this to me is, how do you choose the suburbs? Is there, I mean, it's certainly not alphabetical or population based or anything, is it? Out of a hatch, or is there a rhyme or reason?
Yeah, look, we get asked that all the time. And to date, 70% of construction has been very much in rural and remote Australia and WA included, because NBN is all about bridging the digital divide and making sure that we reach people that are underserved and you know, don't have access. So 70% to date has been in those, really rural and remote places. But that's not to say Metro doesn't have black spots as well. And I think that's the really pleasing thing about yesterday's announcement, is that although we do have construction happening around Metro Perth and have done, that's really going to ramp up between now and December.
Well, that's the sensible way to do it.
Absolutely, Now, I have, I've got so many numbers and figures and stuff that I would just, I've been itching to pick somebody's brain from NBN Co about this sort of stuff.
Most
good
people,
luck, thank you.
They're, you know, they're happy as long as Netflix is streaming properly, right? And that's great, right? On your NBN, high speed internet, and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, I run a digital business, you know, like to do with gaming and streaming live on things like Twitch and YouTube and all that sort of stuff, right? So I need high-speed internet. I've just recently gotten onto the NBN, and I'm paying for a 50 megabyte per second download and a 25 megabyte per second upload, right, which should give me enough. Now, when I test the lines, I only get about 26, 27 down and about 12 or 13, and I'm paying $95 a month. The thing is, it's not just as simple as, hey, telco, it's your fault. There's all of these other things that I've found out all of a sudden just by doing my own little bits of research, that it can be the wiring in the suburb, it can be the wiring in the house. How are you guys going about educating the public better so they're a little bit more well-informed when it comes to going to their telcos and saying, hey, you know the little asterisk saying up to? It doesn't always include me.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and you're spot on. The NBN is just one piece of the internet experience that you're going to receive. So we provide the backbone or the network, and then the internet and phone providers tap into to the NBN and then provide services to the customer, to the you and me's of the world. So it's really important that when you're doing your research and you're going to make the decision to move across to the NBN, that you have a really good conversation with your preferred retail service provider about the sorts of things you want to be able to do on the NBN to make sure you get the correct speed plan on all those sorts of things. And you're spot on again about the other things that can impact your experience, such as devices in the home, wiring, all of those sorts of things.
Well,
too.
One of the things that I've been told by a service provider when I've been speaking to a technician is that, you know, we get fiber to the node rather than fiber to the premise. And people who've done their looking into that sort of stuff know what that means, right? And from the node to my house, actually, they reckon doesn't allow 50 megabytes of download. So even though I'm paying for that amount, I couldn't actually reach those speeds anyway.
And you are entitled, as a customer, to talk to your retail service provider about what speed is actually achievable at your premise to make sure that you're not paying for a plan that your premise actually can't achieve. So I would encourage people to have those conversations with their retail service provider to make sure that, you know, that experience is being met, and if not, to switch to a different plan. In terms of the education piece, we have a really great team across the country that spend our time going to communities and educating residents, businesses, all about the NBN. To your point, the information they need to know and the questions that they should ask. So we have a national team that is focused on that, and we also host a lot of forums and welcome the opportunity to partner with other groups to make sure we're getting that message out there.
And is there a good website, sort of a one? Because there's nothing like brushing up a little bit before you go into this, you know, initial call, because it's all the little sort of things that get me, the different terms and stuff. It's a bit out of my comfort zone. And I feel a lot better if I've read a little bit about it, and then you feel more able to get into a conversation with these people who are more than willing to help you find the right plan.
Absolutely.
It's just that quite often, you know, someone like me will just sign off on it because I just want to get out of the conversation. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, what fibre to the node?
Yeah,
what is
I know.
That?
The terms are interesting. Yeah.
Full of acronyms, I know. So look, our website, nbnco.com.au, is an amazing site with so much information for both residents and businesses about, you know, those things that you need to know and the questions that you should ask your retail
service
provider.
Yes, exactly. Forewarned is forearmed, yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Jane.
That's
great.
And thanks for answering those questions as well. Appreciate it. Jane McNamara from NBN. You can check out mix.com.au and the Mix Facebook page to find out if your suburb is part of the next rollout between now and the end of the year. It's Lisa and Pete. Right now we're joined by Police Union President George Tilbury. Good to have you on the program again,
Good
mate.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, Lisa and Pete.
Mate, we wanted to talk to you about the front page of the West Australian today with the headline, Police Go Rogue, as the industrial action intensifies, with this pay battle going on between yourself, the police union, and the government, right? Just to bring people up to speed, can you tell us currently where the police union is at in regards to their talks with the government for the pay dispute?
We've had numerous meetings with the government. We've also met personally with the Premier to try and resolve this issue. The concern for our members, which they're now angry about, is that we were in the midst of negotiations and the government has changed the goalposts.
Yeah.
So right through that process, 1.5% was on the table. We were asking, actually we were demanding an offer in the end from the bureaucrats who dragged their feet. They didn't give it to us, and in that time, the government changed the state wages policy, which meant it was much less than the 1.5%. So that's why our members feel angry and betrayed, and they're now taking further action.
Yes, it's not like police are going on strike. I've never known police to go on strike per se, but there will be a wave of industrial action. And it's designed to hit the state government in the hip pocket because that's all they seem to be concerned about is the bottom line. So we'll play your game. Exactly how does this industrial action work?
Okay, what our members are going to do is they're going to use their discretion.
Yep.
So they're going to issue cautions instead of infringements for minor traffic and liquor offences.
What do you mean by liquor offences?
Okay, so street drinking, for example.
Yep.
So if someone is walking along and they've got a can of beer or something in their hands,
you
can be given an infringement for that. But instead of that, they'll be given a caution. But that's as long as things don't escalate and their attitude is good. You know, if they abuse police or they escalate and commit other offences, they'll still be dealt with by way of arrest or summons.
Yeah, this isn't an open slather sort of, you know, opportunity for us to all just, you know, take advantage of the low-level things and start speeding and street drinking and so on.
All those sorts of offences will still be dealt with by the usual manner.
Yes.
But what we're doing is, you know, minor indiscretions, we're going to give people a break.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that's all the government's concerned about. So
well,
it's going to hit them in the hip pocket and cost them millions of dollars, which will be much more than what it would be for about $5 million to sort this mess out.
I'm kind of on two sides of this because at the same time, like you know, and we've had many chats with you on this show over the course of this police union dispute with the government, I want to see our police officers on the streets and in the offices and everywhere that they work here in WA earn more money. I want them to have that 1.5% pay rise.
And be as safe as possible.
Absolutely, they deserve it. I want the $10 million for the police vests so they can have those as well and keep as safe as possible. But at the same time, I also look at this and I kind of go, you are kind of holding the law a little bit to ransom. And what happens if, you know, you do come up against one of these people who you kind of let off because they're street drinking or something like that, and then that same person goes on 15 minutes later to do something really terrible that they probably should have been caught about at the time?
Look, that's always a risk, but police have very good instincts as to what a person's like.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say given time, place and circumstance, they would deal with that person appropriately and I would have confidence in that occurring. But there's always risk. Police officers feel like they've got no choice but to try and get their attention
hands in the
other
air.
Way, and
yeah.
this is the best way to do it.
All right, well, we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I don't like the word risk when it comes to the public, but we'll see how this plays out. But, George, mate, as always,
that's
we hope...
sanity prevails in the end, George, yeah.
We do hope that the government comes around on this because police, we can't stress this enough as Perth's show, police need to be better looked after, not just in their job, but after their job as well.
Exactly. And we need to make sure that the conditions attract good people as well, because it's a very essential, you know, part of our society, having the police there.
All the best to you, mate.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Experience Perth's best new electrical appliance superstore at the all-new Midland Retrovision. Grand opening sale this Saturday.